and by streaming on realworldnews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. People Not People, The Fashion, Indonesian Wonder, Kisaran, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. This week with me, Steve. You can listen on VONNews.ID at any digital and the frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Listener, here are the top stories. Indonesia Quantum Movement aims to achieve a common goal. Q1 investment realization grew by 15.9%. And here is highlight of the week. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto launched Indonesian Quantum Movement, which collaborates with various elements of the society to achieve common goals. The detail by Dona Pandini.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto officially launched the Gerakan Indonesia Menanam or Planting Movement Program, a collaborative movement to raise awareness and active participation of the community in planting, growing, and harvesting food crops held in Banyuasin Regency, South Sumatra Province on Wednesday. In his press conference with the media, President Prabowo appreciated the initiative of the Indonesia Planting Movement that collaborates with various elements of society, such as ulama or clerics, merchant, advocate, and expert. Prabowo also revealed that through this movement, all elements are united to achieve a common goal, a safe, strong, and stable Indonesia for the welfare of the people.
Jadi sekarang ini semua unsur bersatu. Jadi ibarat kita, so now all elements are united, like we are making a national team to achieve what we aspire to, that we are safe, strong, stable. We can't be disrupted by any power struggle. We do not want to disturb other nations, but we must ensure the welfare of our people.
Kita tidak mau ganggu bangsa lain, tapi harus jamin kesejahteraan rakyat kita.
Meanwhile, in his remarks at the launch of the Indonesia Planting Movement, Prabowo Subianto expressed his pride in this progress of Indonesia's agricultural sector, which is now not only sufficient for domestic needs, but has also begun to be in demand by other countries. According to the president, agricultural production in the last 4 months has shown a significant surge, leading several countries to request food aid from Indonesia. The president emphasized that the aid will still take into account the cost of production, distribution, and administration. However, it is still based on the spirit of solidarity and global responsibility.
Indonesia Minister of Investment and Downstream Industry, Rosan Rusali, said investment realization reached 465.2 trillion rupiah in the first quarter of 2025, up 15.9% year-on-year, compared to the realization in the first quarter of 2024 with 401.5 trillion rupiah. Full detail by Dona Pandiri.
Indonesia Minister of Investment and Downstream Industry, Rosan Rusali, said that investment realization reached 465.2 trillion rupiah in the first quarter of 2025, up 15.9% year-on-year, compared to the realization of first quarter 2024 of 401.5 trillion rupiah. The realization is also equivalent to 24.4% of the target of 1,905.6 trillion rupiah throughout 2025. This was conveyed by Rosan Ruslani in a press conference at the presidential office in Jakarta Wednesday. Rosan explained that the investment realization in the first quarter of 2025 was in line with the target set by the National Development Planning Agency. According to Rosan, this realization is very encouraging and show the confidence of domestic and foreign communities to invest in Indonesia.
Jadi ini akan sangat menggembirakan. Ini menunjukkan juga. So this is a very encouraging number. This also shows that the confidence of both international and domestic to invest in Indonesia is maintained, because we all know that investment is a long-term commitment, and they see that under the leadership of President Prabowo, the peace and stability is very, very good and very, very well maintained, so that the incoming investment can continue to run according to our target in the future.
Rosan Ruslani explained in more detail, investment realization consisted of domestic investment of 234.8 trillion rupiah, or 50.5%, and foreign investment realization of 230.4 trillion rupiah, or 59.5%. Meanwhile, according to Rosan, this investment was concentrated outside Java, reaching 235.9 trillion rupiah, or 50.7%. Meanwhile, in Java Island, it reached 2,029.3 trillion rupiah, or 49.3%. Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia Minister of Agriculture Andrew Sulaiman said simultaneous rice planting to be carried out simultaneously in 160 registries across the country is part of the government's strategic efforts to strengthen food security and sovereignty. The detail by Ofra.
The simultaneous rice planting activity in Ogan Ilir Regency, South Sumatra Province on Wednesday is part of the government's strategic efforts to strengthen food security and sovereignty. This was stated by Minister of Agriculture Andrew Sulaiman. The rice planting activity using drone farming technology was directly led by President Prabowo Subianto. In a statement, Minister of Agriculture Andrew Sulaiman said the planting took place simultaneously in 160 registries across Indonesia. He targeted the planting area in April 2025 to reach 1.3 million hectares with an estimated production of 7.5 million tons of grain.
We will plant simultaneously throughout Indonesia in an event attended by 160 regencies. They are in governance, three deputy governors, and the rest are regions and deputy regions. Then our target is months, we will plant 1.3 million hectares. That will mean all productions together at 7.5 million tons. If it becomes rice, it is 3.5 to 4 million tons, in which the need per month is only 2.5 million tons.
In addition, the minister said that the absorption of rice until April was the highest in a decade. Then Forest Talks Amar also said that the figure shows a high figure of 3 million tons.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto received a visit from Fiji Prime Minister Siti Vendi Hirabuka on Thursday. Rama Shidki has more. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto received a visit from Fiji Prime Minister Siti Vendi Hirabuka at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, April 24th. Of course, supported for the Indonesia's presidential secretariat, Prabowo said both Indonesia and Fiji reiterated their commitment to peace, cooperation, and collaboration amid geopolitical reforms.
In international spheres, we have common positions. We believe in the sovereignty of all countries. We are committed to peace, cooperation, collaboration. Indonesia has a long tradition of non-alignment. We do not want to be dragged into geopolitical rivalries.
President Prabowo told Prime Minister Rabuka that both countries are also enhancing cooperation in the meeting, especially in agriculture. Prabowo claimed that his country has developed new strains of crops and good agricultural technology that Fiji could learn from, and invited Fijians to study agriculture in Indonesia. Meanwhile, Fiji Prime Minister Sitiveni Rabuka, in a press statement, thanked Indonesia for respecting Fijian sovereignty amid the country's difficult times and keeping steady relations. He also thanked Indonesia for helping build a training center in Fiji's Rakiraki district as part of agricultural cooperation, as well as an Indonesian grant worth $6 million.
President, we thank you most sincerely for the recently concluded annual agreement for that agricultural training center in Fiji, which will develop into a regional, and we most sincerely appreciate your grant of $12 million, which is equivalent to about $6 million, which is big for Fiji, particularly as a brand.
Indonesia and Fiji established relations in 1974, shortly after Fijian independence in 1970. However, the two countries have only opened their embassies in the 2000s, with Indonesia opening an embassy in the Fijian capital of Suva in 2002. Ramesky Pratama, reporting for Voice of Indonesia. United States of America welcomes Indonesia's trade negotiation efforts. The detail by Ramesky. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, and Indonesia's Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani, provided an update on the country's ongoing trade negotiations with the United States on Friday, April 25th. The talks focus on reciprocal tariffs previously imposed by the US President Donald Trump on several countries, including Indonesia. Minister Hartarto stated that Indonesia's delegation had met with various US stakeholders, including the Office of US Trade Representative, USTR, the Department of Commerce, the Department of the Treasury, and American Business Associations. He noted that Indonesia's approach was well received.
Secara keseluruhan, pemerintah Amerika Serikat mengapresiasi strategi dan pendekatan serta proposal yang
diberikan. Overall, the US government appreciates Indonesia's strategies and proposals, and both sides have agreed to proceed with a more intensive process at a technical level. Even five key sectors have already been identified to form a kind of working group to accelerate discussions.
Lima sektor khusus untuk sejenis working group agar ada kecepatan dalam pembahasan.
Hartarto added that Indonesia has signed a non-disclosure agreement, or NDA, with the USTR, signaling that the country has entered the negotiation phase. He also said that Indonesia is one of the 20 countries that have begun preliminary negotiations. Meanwhile, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani confirmed the US appreciation of Indonesian dialogue and negotiation. She said Indonesia's move to be among the first countries to negotiate with the United States could provide a strategic advantage for the country.
Dan dengan bekal komunikasi awal yang menunjukkan Indonesia among the first timer, the first mover, it could be initial communication, Indonesia being among the first timers, the first mover is seen as an advantage. This positive feedback strengthens our position as we move into technical level talks, which we hope will benefit Indonesia, regional and global economy.
Indonesia considered various factors while formulating several proposals for the United States. This includes advocating for greater market access to the US through competitive export tariffs and supply chain cooperation in strategic industries and critical minerals. Ramesky Pratama reporting for Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia raises concerns over US immigration practices affecting Indonesian citizens. More detail by Andy Romboni. Indonesia has raised concerns regarding the actions of the US immigration authorities affecting Indonesian citizens, specifically pointing out the lack of adherence to fair legal processes. Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Yudha Nugraha, made these statements on Thursday in Jakarta. He acknowledged Indonesia's respect for US law enforcement efforts in enforcing immigration laws, but he expected that such enforcement should comply with established regulations and due process to ensure the protection of rights for Indonesian citizens. We express our concerns regarding the actions of US immigration officers against Indonesian citizens that have not gone through the legal process. Among others, there are those whose visas are still valid and agree for without notification. In this case, of course, the government respects the sovereignty of the US government to enforce its immigration laws. However, on the other hand, we also ask that the law enforcement process carried out by US authorities continue to pay attention to due process of law in accordance with applicable laws in the US to ensure that the rights of our Indonesian citizens are still fulfilled. Yudha Nugraha further noted that following the implementation of the US deportation policy, the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has proactively coordinated with several Indonesian diplomatic representatives in the United States. He said that 20 Indonesian citizens have been impacted by the new policy introduced by President Donald Trump, with 5 of them already deported back to Indonesia. Among those affected, 6 individuals are students. Yudha assured that the Indonesian government is committed to providing legal assistance to all affected citizens to ensure they receive their rights in accordance with established regulations.
Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Food, Zulkifli Hasan, says Indonesia has been successful to be self-sufficient in rice and corn. The detail by Dora.
Food is a priority program of Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto. Since without food security and self-sufficiency, no country in the world can become a developed country. This was conveyed by the Coordinating Minister for Food, Zulkifli Hasan, in his remarks at the 91st anniversary of the Ansar Youth Movement in Purwokerto, Central Java, Thursday. On the occasion, Zulkifli Hasan said that because food is so important, President Prabowo targeted Indonesia to be self-sufficient in food in 3 years. However, it turned out that at the end of April, Zulkifli stated that Indonesia had succeeded in being self-sufficient in rice and corn, because based on data from the Central Statistics Agency, Indonesia had a rice surplus of 3.5 million tons at the end of April.
According to Statistics Indonesia, at the end of April, we already had a rice surplus of 3.5 million tons. At the end of April, our production was at 13.9. We needed 10.4. There is data for that. So by the end of April, we already had a surplus of 3.5 million tons.
In addition to realizing self-sufficiency in rice and corn, Zulkifli Hasan said the government has also built a people's economy starting from the village. The government has formed an ecosystem that can drive our economic activities in rural areas called the Red and White Village Cooperative. According to him, the government will build 70 to 80,000 village cooperatives, which will handle all village economic activities, starting from 9 basic ingredients, fertilizers, clinics, pharmacies, and others. Dara Pandey for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesian Foreign Minister to attend Brazil's Foreign Minister's meeting in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
detail by Angelo Gabi. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono is scheduled to attend the ministerial meeting of BRICS member countries in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on 28 to 29 April 2025. Spokesperson for the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Royansa Sumirat, Thursday said that the meeting will be the first meeting of BRICS foreign ministers attended by Indonesia since it was officially elected as a member of BRICS on 6 January 2025. The meeting will discuss a number of issues, both global politics and security, to global governance reform. This meeting is planned to discuss global strategic issues, both global and regional political and security issues, then issues of global governance reform and the roles of the developing countries in the global south will also continue to be discussed in relation to the wishes of the BRICS countries who have long wanted to carry out more efforts to strengthen cooperation within the framework of multilateralism. And also the BRICS foreign ministerial meeting will be an important meeting to prepare various things that will be discussed or may become the referables from the BRICS summit. Previously, Indonesia also attended the 2024 BRICS summit in Kazan, Russia. In the meeting, which took theme strengthening multilateralism for fair global security and development, Indonesia voiced a message of peace and the importance of developing countries and the global south to unite. The Financial System Stability Committee confirmed that the stability of the national financial system in the first quarter of 2025 remained maintained despite increasing external pressure for global dynamics. The detail by Dora.
The Financial System Stability Committee confirmed that the stability of the national financial system in the first quarter of 2025 remained maintained despite increasing external pressure from global dynamics. This was conveyed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati in a virtual periodic press conference of the Financial System Stability Committee.
Friendship Bridge Exhibition called User Exhibition. The detail by Ranoff.
The government of Indonesia and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia held the Indonesia-Saudi Arabia Friendship Bridge Exhibition, also called the User Exhibition, at Istiqlal Mall, Jakarta, Thursday. Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Nasaruddin Umar, when attending the opening ceremony on Thursday, said that this is the first time such an exhibition is held in Indonesia, and this is an important moment to strengthen the good relationship between the two countries.
We're witnessing something special here, something that cannot be seen anywhere else. So we'd like to express our deepest gratitude to the government of Saudi Arabia. We also thank the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Indonesia, who has been very kind and given us all of support. We kindly ask you not to take this exhibition down too soon. We hope that 50% of the Indonesian population can see it here. They will be very happy.
Nasaruddin hopes this kind of event can continue in the future and reach even more Indonesian as a sign of the strong friendship between the two countries, especially in culture and religion. The exhibition runs from April 24 to May 3rd and shows the rich culture and history of Saudi Arabia, including old Quran manuscript, VR technology to explore the Grand Mosque in Makkah and the Prophet Mosque in Medina, and special food from Saudi Arabia. This event is open to public for free.
Indonesian Deputy Minister of Home Affairs Bima Arya Sugiarto highlights the importance of national strategic programs in boosting regional capacity and strengthening cooperation between central and local governments. The detail by Ofra.
The Deputy Minister of Home Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Bima Arya Sugiarto, advised that national strategic programs are not meant to take over the roles of local governments, but rather to support and strengthen regional capacity. This statement was made during his speech at the UN Synergy between central and regional governments to build the Epical Growth Towards Building Indonesia 2045 held on Friday. He highlighted the importance of strong cooperation between the central and regional governments to ensure that development policies truly improve the welfare of people across Indonesia.
Program strategis nasional sejatinya tidak mengambil peran dari pemerintah daerah.
National strategic programs are not meant to replace the roles of local governments. Instead, they serve as a tool to boost regional capacity and accelerate development. These programs are designed to help unlock the full potential of each region. Food sovereignty, free nutritious meal, community schools, and direct white village cooperatives are all initiatives from the president and the central government to empower and encourage every potential the regions have.
Untuk mengungkit, untuk mendorong semua potensi yang dimiliki oleh daerah.
In addition, the Prime Minister of Home Affairs, Bima Arya Sugiarto, emphasized that good governance must continue to be pursued by improving the quality of public services in all aspects of welfare. Closeness to the community must be maintained consistently, not just at certain moments. In this way, regional sovereignty and the welfare of all Indonesians without exceptions can be truly utilized.
Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Mukti expressed his appreciation for the collective efforts leading to Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language being recognized as an official language in UNESCO meetings. The detail by Ofra.
The Ministry of Elementary and Secondary Education through the Language Development Agency continues to invite all components of the nation to maintain the sovereignty of the Indonesian language as a symbol of national identity. Minister of Elementary and Secondary Education Abdul Mukti expressed his appreciation to all parties who have contributed to promoting the use of the Indonesian language in various fields, including the international stage. In his remarks at the launch of the guidelines for monitoring the use of Indonesian language, which took place on Friday, Abdul Mukti highlighted the great achievements that have been achieved through collective efforts, especially in making Indonesian an official language in UNESCO meetings.
Saya perlu mengapresiasi Badan Bahasa yang seluruh jajaran. I need to express my appreciation to the language agency, the entire
ministry and also the leadership during Mos Maiden's term. Full efforts in promoting the Indonesian language so that it has become an official language in UNESCO meetings. This is an achievement we should all be grateful for. It shows that the world has acknowledged Bahasa Indonesia. Of course, the challenge ahead is how we can use this language more as a language of science.
Furthermore, Abdullah emphasized the importance of writing scientific papers in proper and correct Indonesian language. He stated that this would strengthen Indonesian language's position as a language for science, technology, and knowledge development. He also stressed that Indonesian language must continue to be encouraged as the main tool of communication and as the medium for the nation's intellectual growth.
Listener, that's kind of the week. Listener, here's the Voice Talk with Yuda Nugraha, the Director of Indonesian Citizen Protection, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We talked about the protection of Indonesian citizens abroad.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners and viewers of Voice of Indonesia, as we know that there are millions of Indonesian people stay abroad, and they live in the many different countries. And as Indonesian people who live and stay abroad, of course, they need information about what they have to do, they have to know about living abroad, and then the most important thing is about how to protect themselves. So here in our studio today, we have the Director of the Protection of the Indonesian Citizen of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs, Mr. Bapak Yuda Nugraha. How are you, Pak Yuda?
Very good, Papane. Welcome. How are you?
Good, I'm good, Pak. Welcome to the studio, Voice of Indonesia, Pak.
Thank you, Papane. This is a good pleasure for me to join Papane discussing the most pertinent issue for our Foreign Minister's protection of Indonesian national
purposes. Yes, Pak Yuda. Today, here in the Radio Republic Indonesia Bowling, Sari, that's it, artificial friend of the Indonesian migrant workers, has launched and introduced to the public. So, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, together with the UN Women, of course, launched this artificial intelligence-based virtual assistant, Sari. So, Pak Yuda, can you explain to our listeners and viewers, what is Sari actually, and how important it is for Indonesian people abroad?
Yeah. So, first of all, we just officially launched SARI, Artificial Friend for Indonesian Migrant. So, this is actually our response to the growing challenges of protection Indonesian migrant workers offices. First, I can give some figure about the magnitude of providing protection for Indonesian migrant workers offices. Last year, we handled more than 97,000 of cases, mostly coming from Indonesian migrant workers. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is not only the number of cases is skyrocketing, but the complexity of the cases is becoming more challenging. So, based on that background, there's no other way for us, because we have limited resources in our Indonesian mission offices. Yes, we have more than 128 Indonesian mission offices, but they are all human. They have some limitation to provide protection. That's why, because of the number of cases and the complexity of the cases is very, very fast, there's no other way for us other than adopting the technology, especially information technology. And Ministry of Foreign Affairs have developed two digital platforms. First, we call it Peduli WNI. Can be accessed website www.peduliwni.kemlu.go.id. And the second platform is a mobile application. We call it Self-Travel Kemlu. Can be downloaded in App Store or Play Store. And then we put another feature in Self-Travel using artificial intelligence. We call it SARI. So this artificial intelligence is our response to these growing challenges in providing protection for Indonesian migrant workers. Basically, this feature, artificial intelligence, can respond to Indonesian migrant workers offices who seek information with empathy. That's the quality of this SARI is they can respond with empathy, not judging, and then they can provide information fastly and accurately. So that's one of the reasons why we developed SARI, and then how the SARI could help Indonesian migrant workers if they have fasting problem offices.
Okay, Pak Yuda, just so you mentioned that there are 97 cases and they are very complex. So how complex is this, the problem that our migrant workers face abroad?
Yeah. So out of 97,000 cases we handled offices last year, majority of cases is immigration cases, mostly for Indonesian migrant workers living undocumented. And then secondly is labor cases, because that's quite understandable that because majority of Indonesian living offices is migrant workers.
Yes.
And then other cases like criminal cases, civil cases, or other cases like accident and so on. But I can share with you all that the number of cases, the majority of cases coming from immigration offense,
okay,
as well as labor cases.
Okay, Pak Yuda, you also mentioned that we have 128 missions abroad, right? So why do we still need this SARI, which belongs to Safe Travel and also Peduli Indonesia? Since I think, you say that, the staff there, they're still human, But in terms of, just say, services, I think the same, artificial intelligence and human will be given while serving people, right?
Sure, that's most important. We develop SARI as an assistant, as a first responder for Indonesian living offices who seek information from us.
Okay.
But of course, we are not designing a SARI to replace human being, not to replace our staff in Indonesian mission offices, because they are the core of providing protection.
So,
why we develop SARI? Because as I mentioned earlier, that the number of cases is growing. And then there are limitations in terms of human resources in our Indonesian mission.
Yes.
Let's say, if one day we receive maybe 100 reports of incidents happening offices in one particular Indonesian mission, and there are only maybe two staff, so they have limitations to respond quickly. In other cases, maybe among these 100 cases, there are less happening cases that we need to handle quickly. This is the limitation, if we are only depend on human resources. So we develop SARI to assist us to provide information for non-life-threatening situation, for information.
Yes.
For cases who facing life-threatening situation, then need quick response from human, then that's the whole of Indonesian mission.
Okay.
The staff, consular staff, in every Indonesian mission, we have a hotline number, which is operated by our
Okay. Just let's talk this more technical about you. We have a case like I'm traveling abroad and suddenly I lost my passport. So can the Savi answer my question that just said that where can I have a new passport so I can return to back to Jakarta, for example?
That's the most question asked to our Indonesian mission.
Oh.
So there may be so many cases that the Indonesian lost their passport and how they can get a new travel document from our Indonesian mission. Yes, Savi can answer that question. So first, Savi can give empathy.
Yes.
Because this is not only machine, this is artificial intelligence.
Okay.
They can show some empathy. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I can understand how difficult the situation when you lost your passport. Lost your passport. And this is what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
To provide new travel document from the MIAS, Indonesian Mission Office.
Mm-hmm.
First, and Savi itself, we implant the geotagging location.
Okay.
So whenever, let's say, Papani, I lost my passport.
Mm-hmm.
Even without mentioning the location
okay.
of your assistant when you lost passport,
mm-hmm.
Savi can automatically detect your location.
Mm-hmm.
And then we provide Papani with the MIAS Indonesian Mission in your location.
Oh, really? How could he, the Savi can monitor or just say mention that I live in an area, let's say in Hong Kong, for example, but
yeah,
so how does this work? From my mobile phone or...
Because Savi is one special feature in our application, Self-Driver can do.
Mm-hmm.
And this application, we implement the geolocation tagging.
Yes.
So the application will automatically detect
okay.
Your location, and then when you ask Savi about how I can contact the MIAS Indonesian Mission, Savi will automatically guide you to the MIAS Indonesian Mission, which is our consulate area in Hong Kong.
Okay. Let's take another example, but this case is quite common, faced by my co-workers in abroad. Let's say, my company, my company, my boss, for example, treat me rough,
mm-hmm.
hard. So I want to report this to the authority,
mm-hmm.
Local authority, or to the Indonesian Mission. So could Savi answer this? So what do I have to do, for example? That's the question. Can Savi answer that question?
Yes, that's the one of the reasons we develop Savi, to respond to that kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, majority cases is immigration cases and labor cases.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever Indonesian citizen face some labor cases, then Savi will provide and guide the particular Indonesian citizen with some services that can be provided by Indonesian Mission
mm-hmm.
and by local government, including how they can report. They can loss report to the local authorities.
Okay, yes. That's really amazing, Pak Yuda.
Okay, I should highlight that this is artificial intelligence.
Yes.
So, we have designed Savi could only access information to the official information from related ministry and agencies in Indonesia and also other countries. But since this is artificial intelligence, this is actually a learning machine.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to develop and provide more information that Savi can develop himself. So that's why we find all stakeholders, all Indonesian citizen living officers to use Savi.
Mm-hmm.
The more we use Savi, the more Savi will develop himself and then provide more accurate and comprehensive information.
Okay, good. So this is really amazing, and this is really needed by most of Indonesia, Pak Yuda, because I want to tell you one thing that we do last year while we are in the process of general election.
Yes.
So Voice of Indonesia has a program like educated people abroad, Indonesian migrant workers abroad. Mm-hmm. So we need data.
Okay.
I give you an example. I search data. Okay, I want to know where Indonesian migrant worker, many Indonesian workers work.
Mm-hmm.
What country? So this study will answer that.
Yes.
With accurate data. Because to choose the one country or one city that for this program, we have to know the data of Indonesian workers. So more Indonesian data, so it is better if we have this space for our program.
Mm-hmm.
So Savi will answer that.
Yes. In part, Savi will answer that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the way Savi works is to access information from the government, ministry, and agencies.
Okay.
So if Papani asks, how many Indonesian citizens living in Malaysia?
Yes.
Then Savi will access information either from us, from Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or from Ministry of Protection of Migrant Workers.
Okay, so now I understand that this information is not merely from the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry.
No. We also connected to other official information.
See.
But since you are asking how many Indonesian living overseas, I can assure you that there's no single answer for it. Because we rely on the Lapor diri.
Yeah.
So there's a register.
Mm.
So according to our law number 23/2006, it is an obligation for all Indonesian citizens living more than 1 year overseas, they have to report to the nearest Indonesian agency.
Okay.
So we base on that information. And I can share frankly that the willingness of Indonesian to report themselves
mm-hmm.
to the nearest Indonesian agency is quite low.
Mm-hmm.
So the number we provide for let's say if you ask me how many Indonesian living overseas,
mm-hmm.
I can share that according to our registration report, there are around 2.5 million
to provide
Indonesian living overseas based on registration.
Yeah.
But if Papani ask me how many actual number of Indonesian living offices, it's only that who knows.
yes, of course.
So that's why if you ask Savi will call the data from official, and then the official number is based on registration report. So this is how we also would like to share with all the audience about how to expect from Savi,
mm-hmm.
because we rely on official data from relevant ministry and agencies.
Okay, Pak Yuda, I want to go test back a little bit on the data, 97 cases. So 97,000 cases, and I believe that the Indonesian Foreign Affairs from the Directorate of Protection of Indonesian Citizens working hard to minimize or to reduce this number. So what protection and prevention? I think prevention is better than protection. So what sort of prevention efforts have been done by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, especially the Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens?
That's why I could not agree more to you, Pak Pane, but prevention is more important than mitigating.
Yes.
Because if we are only allocating our resources to solve the cases, and then we forget on how to prevent cases, the new cases will come.
Yes.
I can show you the data of Indonesian facing death penalty offices.
Yeah.
So in 2023, we have been successfully released 19 Indonesian national from death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But the new number, the new case for death penalty in the same year is 25. Wow. So bigger. So that's why we always say to our stakeholder that yes, this is the role and the responsibility of the state and government to provide protection and solve the problem, but we cannot only do that. We should cooperate together, collaborate on how to provide effective prevention. And when we are talking about effective prevention, we should provide prevention from the Indonesia.
Yeah.
From Indonesia. When we are talking about migration process, there are three phases of migration. Before placement, before going overseas,
yes.
During employment,
yes.
In overseas, and after migration, when they are returning back. So when we are talking about prevention, we should start the prevention action from the very beginning, before they are going overseas. And that's the role of providing accurate information to candidate of Indonesian migrant workers. Before they are doing migration, we should provide with accurate information about the job description, about the employment contract,
yes.
About the immigration law, about the customs in country of destination.
Yes.
So they are fully prepared before they are going overseas. That's the most important prevention.
You know, we also get data from the UN Women, United Nations Women, that 80% of Indonesian migrant workers are women.
Yeah.
So is the issue of protecting Indonesian citizens also influenced by gender? So how does the Ministry of Foreign Affairs handle this?
Correct. That majority of Indonesian migrant workers are coming from women.
Okay.
And that's why we need to create public services, which is gender responsive. And that's why we create SARI. SARI actually dedicated for women migrant workers. That's why we collaborate with UN Women. The important thing about SARI is SARI can give empathetic response,
yes.
Not judging, and so on. When we are talking about women migrant workers, especially working in those domestic sectors,
yes.
We are talking about vulnerable groups. And when we are dealing with vulnerable groups, we have to use special approach. We have to understand about their situation. We have to give them empathy.
Yes.
We cannot judge them about what they are facing overseas. That's what we call it, responsive gender. And we design SARI to address this.
Yes. Empathy is important for SARI.
Yes.
We are talking as a man.
As a man, we are not quite sensitive about empathy.
Yes.
But when we are taking women, especially they are having problems, giving empathy is part of the solution. So this is my experience. When we are dealing with women migrant workers who have, let's say, sexual abuse, in our procedure, we cannot assign male staff to do the interview,
yes.
Because there's some barrier,
yeah.
for the victim to express himself.
Yes.
That's why we assign female staff to interview them. That's one of the responsive gender. And because this is artificial intelligence, we can also show some empathy and respect.
So,
how we can create a safe space and comfort zone for victim to report themselves and to express what cases they are facing.
Okay, my last question is about Yudam. First, Indonesia plays its role as a second track diplomacy. We inform good things from Indonesia abroad. Then we inform everything about Indonesia for people who want to come to Indonesia, visiting Indonesia. So, as a media, so how important do you assess the role of media in disseminating this information, information on about protection and better if we have prevention for the Indonesian citizens while planning to go abroad and while we are already abroad? As you mentioned, there are three stages, before leaving, while staying, and returning back to Indonesia.
Yes.
So how important the role of media in disseminating this information to the people of Indonesia abroad and maybe foreign people who want to come to Indonesia?
Very important. Media play a pivotal role for disseminating information. We, the government, has limited capacity to reach our communities, be it in Indonesia,
yes.
As well as overseas. As I mentioned earlier, providing accurate information, easy access, affordable, accurate information is a key for prevention. And media have their own network,
yes.
To reach Indonesian people still in Indonesia, and as well as Indonesian living overseas. That's why we need to collaborate. That's why I'm very happy that we can launch SARI in LA.
Yes.
So this is kind of a good collaboration between Ministry of Foreign Affairs and LA on how we can reach and educate and disseminate information to the broader audience, be it in Indonesia as well as in overseas.
Okay, just for quick and short, Yuda, that's the tenor, your message to Indonesian people living abroad about this protection and prevention, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, this is a great pleasure for me and for Ministry of Foreign Affairs to join this Voice of Indonesia. This is the responsibility of the state and government to provide protection for all Indonesian living overseas. But for doing that, we cannot do it alone. We need assistance, we need cooperation and collaboration from all stakeholders, including media, AIE, and then you all, Indonesian living overseas. So the most important thing is how we can collaborate together to help other Indonesian, fellow Indonesian who face problem. And secondly, the most other important thing is how we can provide effective prevention. Yeah, start from the beginning in Indonesia until during their stay in overseas, and then while they are returning to Indonesia. So again, this is a great pleasure for us, and we look forward to working closely with you all.
Thank you, Faida.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
And
that is
digital with Newark. That is collaborative content from various national programs.
to our broadcast. If you get something to say, share with us to our email, voilistness@gmail.com. The comment section of NRA Digital and our social media accounts, Facebook of Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, VOI_official. You can listen again, and also to other talks at Voice of Indonesia on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. We are still on air on Voilist.id, your biggest NRA Digital, and the frequencies, 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.